You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I wanted to start off this hour. We'll get into pick a player coming up later on. Chicago White Sox today. Talk a little bit about the WBC. Because the WBC is always a point of contention in fantasy circles, right? Like, do you want players playing? Do you not want players playing? Like, where do we, how do we feel about this? What do we think? Like, there's always that discussion seemingly every 3 years or 4 years when this happens. So, given, Tony, that we now do have some precedent with guys playing and then coming back, do you see any trends with guys getting hurt or guys playing better or guys playing worse when they do participate in the WBC?
No, there's just one or two guys that everybody makes a big point of there. And it's still not a big sample size when you look at it. I think there's been three events that occurred so far in the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
So I don't think so. I don't put any stock into it. Like, I don't let it affect my drafting whatsoever. Unless a guy played poor, like, if we're waiting for someone to come back from an injury.
Right.
And somehow they play in this WBC instead of playing in spring training, I think that's the end indication there. I don't let it affect me. Like, a lot of people are concerned about Chris Archer pitching in the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, last year had a little bit of an off season. I'd rather see him out there playing competitive baseball than spring training baseball, to tell you the truth.
Scotty, you know, spring training, the environment's much more controlled. You know, like, you play three innings, you play, throw 10 pitches, whatever. It's a much more controlled environment. Are you concerned about guys going to the WBC?
Not really. I mean, you know, and they bring so many pitchers, you know, like Matthew Medica was saying yesterday. It's, you know, it's sometimes it's fun to watch, you know, if there's a, you know, an interesting storyline when, like, a few years ago, you know, the Netherlands went further than we expected. I think I was more interested in when it first started because it was kind of a novelty, but now I just look at it as, like, glorified spring training in a way. It's like, I really don't pay it a whole lot of mind. If a guy's going to get injured, he can easily get injured in spring training too. What I didn't like, I would say the one thing from a personal perspective, when I used to go to spring training, though, it's like, if you're going to go to spring training, it's like, you know, you miss out on some of the bigger names when you go into spring training or even watching a spring training game because they're at the WBC.
All right, so it doesn't matter to you.
It really doesn't matter to me. It's like some of the results. I'll never forget, like, it was like the first or second World Baseball Classic, and I've said this before, and Eddie Chavez was hitting for power. It's just like I don't take it too seriously.
Interesting. Okay. Corey, where are you with the WBC stuff? The whole mic thing.
Relax, Greg.
It's crazy.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't let it. I don't take too much. I don't let it play into my evaluation of players going into the season too much. Obviously, you don't want to see nobody get injured. That's the big thing. But I'm not going to let that really affect my how I go about things on draft day.
I had a question for Tony here. Just I have to throw this out because Rusty Rowell threw this out to me like 2 weeks ago. With all the sports that they do for daily, it seems like they even do esports. Are you surprised that at some point they didn't even just try DFS WBC?
WBC?
Yeah. World Baseball Classic?
I don't think so because the pitches don't go deep enough to get a win. So that eliminates the pitchers. Like, they have to pitch five innings to get a win, right?
Right.
So that's one problem. And then, secondly, I don't think people will know the guys on the other teams. Some of these guys, so that's going to be a problem. I think it's just too much to learn. And the pricing, where it's such a short stay, I don't see it, but it wouldn't shock me if they did, Scott,
right,
but I think that's the problem, is that the whole pitching would be out of it.
Yeah, it's like when I see stuff like preseason football and NASCAR All-Star races, I'm like, I wouldn't be shocked if they did it.
Are you going to watch it, Scotty?
What's that? The WBC?
Yes.
I don't know. It's like I can't say it's not going to be planned programming for me. It's like if I'm flipping the channels and Maybe there's an interesting storyline, you know, that I start to hear about. Maybe I'll tune in. I'm not planning to watch it, but I'm not saying I won't either.
Is an interesting story for you something like Ryan Dempster being the ace of the Canadian staff? Is that a good story for you? And Eric Gagne being their closer?
It's an interesting story, but not something I would tune in for.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm interested, to be honest with you. Like, this is like Ryan Dempster hasn't played in years. And Eric Gagne, like, hasn't been good since he stopped taking steroids. Like, I think the fact that these dudes are pitching against some of the best in the game right now, I'm kind of intrigued.
I guess I could see it. But, you know, what if Ryan Dempster pitches well, does that mean he's going to make a comeback in the majors?
Maybe.
Yeah. I guess it depends on who you talk
to. Isn't that enough?
Oh, Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Ashley Dock will be wearing a Ryan Dempster jersey.
Yeah. It's a five-hour drive. I'm thinking about going down and see them play the Dominican Republic on a Saturday night. It'll be wild down there in Miami, the Dominican Republic versus the United States. I'm thinking about going down.
Well, that's something I would consider. Like, if it was in the area and it was a WBC game, it's kind of a novelty and I'm a baseball fan. That's something I would consider.
Scott Hangle here with Ryan Dempster.
Ryan, how do you feel about your WBC fantasy team?
How you feel about playing for Canada?
Hey, if they gave me a credential, I'd be there.
They have you on your WBC fantasy team.
I'm saying as a fan, though, I'd buy a ticket. If they have it here where the Cyclones play, I'd consider going.
Why the Cyclones? Play? We're putting a minor league ballpark?
Yeah.
They don't play in major league ballparks?
I wherever they put it, I'm just saying, you know,
it's
I consider
be
going.
If they were to do it in New York, it would probably be at City Field or Yankee Stadium. Not in the Cyclones where you could 400 people can fit in.
Yeah. Tony, you mentioned you'd go down to Miami. You mentioned that you go down to Miami to see this game.
That'd be fun.
Marlins Park. But speaking of Miami, it sounds like Jeffrey Loria is selling the team for $1.6 billion.
That's right. That's how crazy sports are now, right? $1.6 billion. I don't know if that includes the stadium in that.
Okay.
If it does, that's explainable. But when you think about a franchise with no value were perceived in the Major League Baseball
None.
Community, like people always complain about the two Florida teams and why do they have games in Florida, and yet you can get $1.6 billion. There isn't a franchise now sold in any sport that goes for under $1 billion.
Clearly.
There's an AP report out there, though, that says that the deal might fall through because the prospective buyer did his due diligence and now may offer a much lower price.
You mean there's a prospective buyer of the President of the United States? Is that who you're talking about?
What's that?
You know who's like buying it, right? The Kushners, who is Ivanka Trump's husband's father.
Wow,
that is the rumor of who is purchasing.
Well, I guess they did their due diligence and they're going to submit a much lower offer.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Imagine the president. Oh, I'm only going to go to Miami games. Go watch the Marlins.
Wow,
Marlins play every day. Marlins must win. Marlins not
Marlins,
sad.
America's team. Make the Marlins great again.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
They did have two world championship teams.
That's true.
They did have two world championship teams. I remember living down there when they won for the first time. But, Tony, I was actually like living in South Florida. And they embraced the Marlins when they were first down there. But the way they ripped up the 97 team, that's why they lost the fan base.
Absolutely.
They were selling out games. People were supporting them. And in 2003, when they won again, people tried to come back. They ripped that team up over time, and that's why they can't get people to come to the games.
It's horrible what they did when you think about it. They cashed in on two teams, then they got rid of them. Then this Jose Fernandez thing, like he was getting huge crowds every time he pitched. Like that's a franchise that needs a new owner, I think, to really – I was there for the first game ever.
With Charlie Huff pitched?
In Miami. Yeah, I went down for the opening day.
When they had amazing. The teal hats with the black brim?
I forget the black brim. I remember the black brim.
Yeah.
I forget it. The teal back in the day. And it was crazy playing at the – they played at the football stadium back then.
Oh, I used to go to games when I lived down there. That was the worst place to watch a baseball game. Just like the sight lines, it was horrible.
It was crazy, though. I sat in the second row behind home plate, and it cost me $250 for a team's first game in their history. So it tells you there wasn't a big market.
That's crazy.
When I worked at CBS Sportsline, they used to try to give away free Marlin tickets in the office, and people wouldn't take them.
That's like Met tickets.
The
more expensive than Yankee tickets right now.
That's not true.
Never.
They're a better team right now.
The WBC in Miami, you have these guys like, I know Tony said there's no correlation for you. It doesn't really matter. But what about a guy that we do have some question marks about? Like a Felix Hernandez, for instance. Like, does that worry you at all?
Well, that's a good point.
No, it doesn't worry me at all. But the problem is he could go up three or four rounds. If he gets one or two good performances, that would push him up.
Right.
I won't fall for it, but other people will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Tony says, you base results on the World Baseball Classic. I think that's erroneous. You know, like sometimes we see guys rip it up in the spring and it doesn't translate it, you know, into the regular season too. It's all about winning a job, really.
So there's
I'm very interested to see like, you know, how certain guys are going to look in the spring, like, you know, especially with the prospects. I'm more interested. I think the upshot of that though is you're going to see certain prospects play more in spring training. Like, I'm very interested to see Ozzie Albers of the Atlanta Braves. You know, this is a 20-year-old kid with a ton of speed coming off a fractured elbow, but, you know, could be the double play partner to Dansby Swanson for a long time, and he's going to contend for the second base job. It's like, I'm very interested to see these storylines. I want to see what Lewis Brinson looks like in spring training. And, you know, with some of these guys over in the WBC, especially with a guy like Brinson and they got a crowded outfield Milwaukee, I'll get to see more of them.
So you're going to watch that?
I'm going to watch spring training.
Okay.
Because, like, with some of the guys over in the WBC, it gives the prospects, you know, more of an opportunity.
Sure.
To show what they can do in the spring.
Right. But will it mean anything? I don't know. Right?
Sometimes when you're winning a job, yes, it means something.
It could, if you're trying to fight for a job, sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
will Luke Weaver crack the rotation? You know,
it may
depend on how
I know you guys talked about Luke Weaver a little bit yesterday. Yeah. Like, how is there a chance that Luke Weaver can crack this rotation? Because I've wondered about that. Like, is there a path for Luke Weaver? Because I don't think there is. Don't know all that
I think at some point the stuff is so good, like, you know, how do they not get him up there?
I don't see a spot for him. And I've wondered about this, guys. Like, I just don't see a spot for Luke Weaver. And I've talked about this before because I liked him last year. I owned him last year. And I feel like there's just no path for him for a rotation spot unless they decide, oh, we'll start Reyes in the bullpen so we don't waste his innings. Like, that's the only way there's a spot for him in the top five of the Cardinals rotation.
I don't think any team in the Major League Baseball made it through last season with the same five starters.
Yeah. It happens rarely, Tone. And I don't think last year it did.
Yeah,
they
just get
right.
hurt, though. You know
yeah, guys get hurt, et cetera.
Like, so
okay, maybe
like
we
that.
We do example, like Josh Hader. I want to see how he looks for the Brewers.
Who?
You know, Josh Hader.
Okay, who's
yeah,
he playing for?
He's a top pro. I just said the Brewers.
I know that.
Yeah,
we were playing for
and
the
then
WBC.
Saying
two,
he's play, who's he playing for?
I was talking about WBC.
No, we're talking about spring training here. You know, Josh Hader is a guy with a lot of strikeout potential. You know, he's got to remember when old school we were talking about young guys are going to improve his command.
Yeah.
You know, Hader might get a crack in Milwaukee. It depends on how he performs.
How
do
you spell his last name? Hater?
H-A-D-E-R.
Like player Hader? Oh, no.
No, H-A-D-E-R.
Like Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
sorry.
You know, Manuel Margot. You know, like.
Can I go back to the Luke Weaver thing now?
Yeah.
So, Luke Weaver has six dudes ahead of him in St. Louis. Adam right. Wainwright, Carlos Martinez, Mike Leake, Lance Lynn, Reyes, and Michael Wacha, right? All these guys are ahead of him.
Right.
So how is he supposed to win? What is he supposed to do?
50% of those guys are coming off an injury.
Yeah,
that's true.
What if Michael Wacha suckers?
Wainwright, yeah. Lance Lynn, Michael Wacha, all guys that are coming off an injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a speculative play, but a speculative play with upside.
I like him. I mean, like I said, I think he's good.
I kept him in my keeper league for
I think he's being way overdrafted for everything you're saying there, Greg,
right,
but I think he's draftable.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's reasonable, Tony.
Yeah.
That makes sense. We'll take a break. Let's come back. Do pick a team, pick a player. We go to the Chicago White Sox. We go across town from yesterday with the Cubs. A lot less fun with the White Sox. We'll do it anyway. White Sox, pick a player. Next, here on the Roto Experts. We pick a player every day. Different team. One on one. Boom, boom. Like the beat drop.
Yeah, but I didn't know you was going into a cappella.
Oh, you know, someone's got to do it.
You want me to sing for you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not singing.
All right, well, don't ask that. All right. Let's start with a big box.
Kind of chippy the past couple days on this program.
That's why I need a vacation, man. I told you. That's why I'm going away.
Yeah.
So I can be chipper rather than chippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say the drama for somebody else, though.
Oh, jeez. Tony's getting so many emails.
That ain't an email.
What is it?
Unless it's from my phone.
Is it from your phone?
I don't know.
It's from your phone, I think. That was the phone email sound.
Oh, it's a text.
Oh, okay.
Someone left the freezer open in my my house when they went to school this morning, so I'm asking my people, why would we have the freezer open? But they did it on purpose for 2 hours. They needed to, because the water wasn't wow. coming out. So.
Gotcha.
Tony's really a celebrity now. He's got people.
Yeah.
Someone
well, I don't
family.
Like to tell people who stays at my house, Scott. I'm trying to keep something secret.
Remember, private.
Remember when, like, you know, we like, you don't want people to know who's living in your crib. Hey, remember that time when Stanford was living in your bathroom for those couple of months?
I charged him rent, too.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. So let's start at the top, gentlemen, with the Big Bobs. We talked a little bit about Jose Abreu. Let's compare him to Todd Frazier. Which one do you want in 2017? I'll start with you, Corey Parson. Jose Abreu. Or Todd Frazier.
Oh boy, it's a tough one right here, because you're taking two players that I don't like this batting average that Todd Frazier comes with, but what he gives you in power is going to be consistent. Third baseman that can swipe 15 bases a year, 30 years old. You know what I'm saying? Still in a good spot in his career. I think I'm gonna go Frazier. The problem with Abreu is, and Abreu is a good batter. You know what I mean? The batting average is going to be 60 points higher, more than likely. But Abreu's power is going down each and every season that he's been in the majors. So his fly balls are not turning into home runs no more. So I'm going to go with Todd Frazier and take the power. And then I think as far as ADP go, they're probably going around the same. But I'm going to go Frazier.
You're going Frazier because you think he's got the more pop, right?
He's got more pop.
He's got 40 home run pop.
Yeah, he's got 40 home run pop. This batting average last year was 225. Hopefully, you can put 20 points on that this year, get up to 245. Now, Abreu's going to hit 300, but Abreu's power numbers is going down. Say Abreu hits 22 home runs, that's a major disappointment, because Abreu is not going to swipe one bag.
Okay, so you're voting Todd Frazier here.
Yeah.
King.
I'm going Todd Frazier, too. I mean, you did see a ridiculously low BABIP last year, so I feel like the average is going to come up a little bit. You're certainly going to get, you know, much better batting average with Abreu, but you know, more power with Frazier, some speed. Abreu, you know, the isolated power has been trending down every year. The home run, the fly ball rate has been trending down every year, but still, you know, I'm not going to underrate the guy. He's pretty much a lock for, like, 290 and you know, close to 30 homers. There's something to be said of the consistency over the last 3 years and what he's averaged. He's a very solid pick, but I'll take Frazier.
All right, Tony Cincotta, we got 2-0 right now.
Yeah, I want to take Todd Frazier, but realistically, I can't do it if I'm giving the advice to them. You got to look at Jose Abreu. He has consistency here. He has a three-year career coming over. The home run numbers do drop, but I think there's no reason to hit 27 to 29 home runs. And realistically, that's what you should be penciling in for Todd Frazier. That 40 is an outlier, which he hasn't done, and he played in a ballpark this year that was actually more of an offensive ballpark. Then Cincinnati was an offensive ballpark, too. So it was just a big year. I think the Todd Frazier was all over the mess. I think his batting average gets a little better this year. The stolen bases are nice. But I just get more of a consistent performance with Jose Abreu. Early in the draft, I would take the consistency.
If I'm in an OBP league, though, it's like I don't even know if I want to look at Todd Frazier.
Jose Abreu is currently going about 64th right now in the NFBC. Todd Frazier is going 72nd, so it's actually Abreu going a little bit earlier here than Frazier, about 8 picks or so.
Yeah, he's a very safe pick.
There's no sexiness to Jose Abreu. That's why I want to go Todd Frazier.
Right.
And that's why I think, you know, other people will look at it. The upside is with Todd Frazier.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But Scott, you bring up a good point. The OBP leagues with Todd Frazier. I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, in a 5x5, I'm slightly leaning Frazier. In an OBP, it's clearly Abreu for me.
Okay. There you go. The next one, I guess Tony, now his fridge is open. I want to go deeper, right? Those are your like first round guys, or third and fourth round guys, rather. I want to go to somebody you have told me how much you hated, Scotty. It's my man, Abisail Garcia. Abisail Garcia or Melky Cabrera?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Melky Cabrera here. It's like Garcia's toolsy, but, you know, his, you know, talking to people like close to the White Sox who have covered them and stuff, it's just like they don't have a lot of confidence. It's just like mentally, like he's never going to put it together. It shows in the numbers. It talent, very talented kid I've heard about for a long time. I just feel like, you know, I'm not excited by Melky Cabrera, but at least he'll give me a decent batting average, you know, some pop. It's like I can't have any confidence that Garcia is going to put it together anytime soon. Didn't show any speed in the minors. Just like, I don't want any part of Garcia.
Tony?
This is a guy that's being an afterthought now.
Yes!
Perhaps Abisail Garcia.
Yes!
I like, if I'm looking at it, I would probably pick Abisail Garcia.
Yes!
In the last couple rounds. I look for a little bit of an upside there. I think Melky Cabrera is trending the wrong way in his career. I think the safer pick is Melky Cabrera. I think you're going to get a 270, 280 batter, two double-digit home runs. But I think Abisail Garcia, when you look at what he's done and the type of player that we got here in this White Sox, he's still 25 years of age. Like, people give up on these guys too early in their career. I'll take a guy with a little – if I'm late in the draft, I'm picking a guy with a little bit of upside.
Corey, break our tie.
Yo, I think I got to go with the with the milkman. I'm kind of attached to that, batting average being 280, probably even 290, the batting average for the milkman, Melky Cabrera. This Garcia kid, you know, we've heard about it. Well, we haven't seen it. He's kind of like a MLB version of Bigfoot. Not to mention the fact, what does he do? He doesn't really do anything that good. He bats at the bottom of the lineup, you know what I'm saying? Melky Cabrera's locked, you know, in the middle of that lineup, hitting between Jose Abreu and Todd Frazier. So I'm going to go with the milk, man.
I'm going to go, the reason I brought this up, obviously, is I am an Abisail Garcia supporter, right? Like, you guys know this. And Baby Miggy was the nickname when he was a younger yep. man. And the thing is, Tony's right. He's only 25 years old. It's not like he's 30 at this point. He's 25. And I know we feel like we've been talking about this dude forever. And a couple of years ago, back in 2014, I want to say, back in 2014, he got to a hot start and then, what, broke his wrist or something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say it takes a year to come back from that. So 2015, you kind of throw out a little bit despite playing 148 games. But I really think there's going at some point this guy's going to be good at putting it together. Like, you watch him swing, you think this guy's going to be unbelievable, and he just hasn't done it yet. I'm telling you, I believe he has major pop, and maybe the average will never be good. I think this guy's good. I really do. I find
it interesting that you're in on him, because usually, like, you're not a patient kind of
guy. I'm not.
Yeah,
but there's certain players that I don't want to say fall in love with, but like Abisail Garcia is just one of these guys that I have followed. I think he's the right ballpark. I think the lineup is so barren. You are on roster resources now, Corey, right?
Yeah.
Where do they project Abisail Garcia to bat?
Dead last.
Dead? Really?
Yeah.
Read me their lineup.
Yeah.
They don't mind.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Charlie Tilson.
Who the hell is Charlie Tilson?
He's a stolen base guy. He's the guy you should be drafting.
wait. Scott says, yeah. The second he said, who the hell is Charlie Tilson? He sprints to his computer, moves away from the mic.
And then he says, yeah.
Yep. Like, you're
what are you talking about?
Who's Charlie Tilson?
What am I talking about?
He was a guy.
What are you talking about? Being like, I don't understand.
Charlie Tilson.
Like, I know who the hell is Charlie Tilson. You immediately duck under the mic. You just typed that.
No, I didn't.
Angle White Sox?
I was talking about my center fielder from the White Sox, Adam Engel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's Adam Engel?
He's one of the reserve center fielders who spells his last name just like I do. I was not looking up Charlie Tilson.
Okay, fine.
So give me a scouting report on Charlie Tilson.
Yeah. So basically in the NFBC, right, we completed all the active rounds.
Right.
And I noticed I was a little short on stolen bases. So this is a kid that stole 46 stolen bases in the Cardinals organization. He's going to be the opening day center fielder.
So now, how did he get to the, how did he get to the White Sox? Was he traded there?
Yeah. Let's see what I don't know how exactly he got traded there. He was a second round pick in the draft.
Let's see here. Charlie Tilson. Cardinals traded for Zach Duke, for reliever Zach Duke, last July.
Zach Duke.
Wow.
Zach Duke.
All right. I guess everyone likes Zach Duke.
I remember when Zach Duke was a thing.
Yeah. All right. So Charlie Tilson is going to start at center field. He's somebody at the end of the draft I should pick, Tony?
If he needs stolen bases.
There you go. Charlie Tilson.
He's not going to give you anything else.
Learn something new every day. Up, no, the second guy in order is Tim Anderson.
I know him.
Yeah. Okay, you got him. You know
another
who
bats, guy for steals.
You know who bats third?
Jose Abreu.
Jose Abreu. Mm-hmm. You know Melky Cabrera.
Okay. Todd Frazier.
Todd Frazier.
Right. Then what?
Brett Laurie until he gets hurt.
Right.
Giovanni Soto. Soto.
Right.
Cody Ash.
Cody Ashy, okay.
Yeah, Cody Ashy.
Right.
And then Abcel Garcia.
All right, Abcel Garcia Cody easily Ash. Got six in this lineup, no problem. Easily. As you look at the lineup, you're like, yeah, this guy sucks, this guy sucks, this guy sucks.
But Abascal sucks, too.
No, he doesn't.
He hasn't done anything yet.
I'm telling you, this guy's going to be better. He's also not going to bat ninth. I'm telling you, he's not going to bat ninth.
So you he's
maybe
he'll
bat eighth ahead of Cody
Ash. He's going to be on some Sussman teams.
And Giovanni Soto.
Okay, maybe he'll bat seventh.
Okay, so now you're bat. So you just went from ninth to seventh real quick.
Yeah, I'm just not as optimistic on him as you are.
What do you expect on Melky Cabrera? Like, what is that guy going to give you?
300 batting average.
What? 280.
He hasn't batted 300 in 3 years.
A 290 batting average. Abascal Garcia might bat 230.
I might. Or about 270.
If he bats 270, that'd be a cold day in hell.
Well, I'll see you there.
No, I'm not going. I've been very nice.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, on Abascal Garcia, obviously.
I listen to gospel music in the morning as I'm getting ready.
Yes. Really? Is that when you come in the studio?
No. By the time I get in the studio, I'm in trap mode. Yeah. I'm in trap mode.
Yeah.
But as I'm getting ready, I'm I start with gospel music and it just goes downhill from there.
So that's your morning. Yeah. Okay. I walk to work listening to Cricket Media podcast. So
yeah.
That's how my day starts.
But when I get up in the morning,
right.
I'm like, I'm like Jake Seeley. By the time I'm like, holy roller, you know what I'm saying? But as the day increases and goes on,
right.
By the time we get to 11 o'clock,
you start up here at heaven in the morning and you're in hell by 11 a.m.
No, by 11 I'm still good, but by 11 p.m., you know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy.
And then I'm not going to say the rest.
Yeah, it's not. I don't want to know where that goes. You're on the bad place.
I never listened to gospel, but I did used to listen to some like Christian rock back in the day.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I know Jake does.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Tony, do you remember Tesla?
The car company?
Yeah, Christian rock band. Tesla. Yeah, they were big time. I used to be a big Aussie fan, which was the opposite.
It was the, the cover of Blizzard of Oz.
Hmm. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to throw a Connect 4 at the guys at the table. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back with you on the Roto Experts in the Morning. King Scott Angle, Tony Zicada, Corey Barson, myself, Greg Sussman. Scott's got some news that interests me, probably only me, but me.
Prince Fielder has a new cooking show coming out on Netflix and Hulu, according to ESPN.
On Netflix and Hulu? It can't be on Netflix and Hulu. That doesn't seem possible.
That's what he says. I have a food show that's going to be streaming on Netflix and Hulu. It's coming up at the beginning of spring training.
They're competitors. How does that work?
I don't. That's what he says. I don't know.
All right. You know, we were talking before. Earlier this week, Tony, and I'll throw it at the table, about like flowers and getting flowers at the bodega and whatnot, and they're not nice flowers. Now, I'm not going to be home. You guys, I'm visiting my mom in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, how much should I be spending on flowers? Because I got to buy them online now.
Awesome. See, here's the thing. I was on Pro Flowers just now.
Yeah.
And
right? just now during the show.
No, yeah, during the show.
Okay.
I'll keep it 100 with you.
Who are you sending flowers to?
Well, I have to get something for my daughter, obviously.
Yes, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's 7
that's
though.
Pretty good.
Yeah, huh?
You don't have to buy her a huge bouquet.
No. I found some Hello Kitty stuff for her.
That's great.
That's cool.
You know what
you
I'm saying?
You got to do that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got a young lady, you know what I'm saying, that I'm with, whatever.
Really? Okay.
But we're not going together.
They're sending her flowers.
But she's a nice girl. You know what I'm saying? Even if she comes through. Sturdy, you know what I'm saying? Do I have to get into the
no,
rest?
No, yeah,
so yeah, I'm looking. I'm looking at, you know, I'm on edible arrangements.
Yeah,
which is like, you know, you got to be a millionaire for that. And I'm right. on Pro Flowers, who we should have some kind of Pro Flowers read.
We need to have a Pro Flowers read, somebody, yeah, please. Uh-huh. Especially right now.
Exactly. So we can put in a promo code executive. You feel what I'm saying? Very simple. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got their number. And it's going to be a $100 thing. This is once you get with shipping and stuff like that, this thing is going to be $80 to $100. Yeah. This is.
It depends on that's what why I day buy you local. Want to deliver to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to have them delivered because someone has to bring them there to make people feel better. The work,
yeah, exactly.
I can't go
showing
local.
Off
I can't,
at the job is a very important to women because
that's
they
the
want
whole thing.
Exactly. They yep. want the girlfriends yep. in the office and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Somebody cares about me. Somebody sent me this stuff. Nobody didn't send you nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's important to them.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kurtz mentioned it yesterday on Old School Fantasy. It's the biggest ripoff Valentine's Day. It's for the Hallmark.
Oh my god.
And
that guy,
chocolate.
Don't take any advice from.
Yeah, he's a very ornery guy.
Yeah.
He's mad like, about the World Baseball Classic.
I'm not going
to
watch.
We talked to him about
thing.
Opening door. We talked about opening doors for cars, and he was like, "Are you kidding me? She can open the door." Yeah, I mean, like, this guy's got something wrong with him. Great. It's going to cost, if you really wanted to shop around for a bargain
yeah.
on Pro Flowers,
yeah.
you could find one set of, like, roses for, like, $75.
Yeah, so
is your girlfriend going to be down there with you in Florida?
Yes. Yeah.
I found when I was living down there, like, instead of going through Pro Flowers, like, if you go through the local florist for delivery, sometimes if you're down there and you find a local florist, you might be able to get it cheaper.
That's a good
that's
idea,
not
too.
A bad yeah. idea. Well,
that's a good idea, too.
That's what I did with, like, my wife. I'll get, like, a local florist, and the guy will just drive to the door, you know?
That's probably like
yeah. You know what's crazy about that is he's right. I had one when I lived at one part of this town that I used to go to, and it was probably $25 cheaper.
Yeah,
that's huge, guys. All right, so now I'm gonna look for
and
this.
She actually liked him better. Than
really?
Flowers.
I think it was my mother-in-law's birthday. My wife was like calling around like local florists in like the Fort Lauderdale area to like to find the best one in terms of price, you know, and the quality of flowers.
Right.
Rather than going through the you know the national thing.
So I just did a quick search for the florist that close to it. All
yeah.
these flowers are more expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's Boca, so. Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, Boca is a very upscale area.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
You go a lot of upscale places.
I knew that was coming.
Greg, yeah. Greg, it's hard to find. Greg, for you to act dumb on that is amazing because you're a pretty intelligent guy.
I think so.
And, yeah, and Boca is.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's, Boca, it'd be in the top Boca, five
yeah.
people's lists.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I really didn't know that. All right. Learn something new every day. All right, let's play a little Connect
I think
Four.
If you live in Florida, you know, you tend to know that.
I don't live in Florida, so I don't know.
You go to Florida a lot, though.
My mom lives in Florida.
Oh, yeah, well, good. Are you taking something for her, too, for Valentine's Day? Yeah, don't slip up. Don't do that. Don't have that happen to you.
I don't send it. That's crazy.
Okay.
My mom's not speaking to me right now.
Let's get back to this.
So,
you know what you do? You get a town near Boca. So like yeah, do the right? delivery, like yeah. Deerfield Beach or something like
that's
that.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Today's players are Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, Jason Hayward, and Jose Ramirez.
Oh, dudes that hit the ball on the ground that suck?
That is not correct.
Oh.
Good guess, though. Scotty?
Maybe there's some linkage with stolen bases there?
No, sir. Tony?
No. Oh, Jose Ramirez and Jason Hayward. I have a hard time connecting those two.
Right.
Low strikeout rates.
All have a home run to fly ball ratio under 6.5%.
Wow.
So basically, anytime they hit in the air, it did not go out, which is interesting.
It's out.
Especially with Gardner, like 2 years ago. Was sure. Like, happening for him.
So it's interesting because Jose Ramirez is a name we talked about on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever yesterday that we haven't necessarily gotten to a conversation here on our show about. Jose Ramirez had an awesome year last year. Played in 150 games, third base, outfield eligible, hit a bunch of home runs, stole a bunch of bases. Tony, what do you think of Jose Ramirez this year?
I like Jose Ramirez a lot. When you think about the position eligibility, double-digit home runs, double-digit stolen bases,
yep.
He goes a little later in draft. And with that home run to fly ball ratio, it actually could get better from the home run statistics.
Exactly.
It won't get any worse than last year.
I agree. I think Jose Ramirez is a good pick.
Yeah, he's played it up in on. It's actually is a player I'm looking at in this slow draft I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just in case somebody's listening, you know.
Oh, yeah. You can whisper.
Yeah. It makes it better. Yeah. They might.
He's
you know,
good.
Yeah, you know, he's good. You know what I'm saying? It's good value at third base. I think I'm in on the kid. Like you said, double digit home runs, double digit stolen bases. It could go up to. He has a little bit of thump in his bat. Where's he going to hit at, though? He hits the ball at the bottom of the lineup.
He's like seventh. He's like a seventh guy, I would say. But, right. You know, last year, as Tony said, he's had double-digit home run power and double-digit speed to steal bases as well. 11 home runs last year, 22 stolen bases, and basically none of the balls he hit in the air went out, which is crazy to me. So if he just gets a little more luck, this dude also hit over 300. Now, the year before, in 97 games, he only hit 219. Is this Scott a guy that's just getting better, or is this an outlier?
I think it's a guy that's getting better. Like, we didn't see a lot of pop in the minors. But again, like we said, sometimes speed, you know, the power is the last thing to come for a kid. If anything, you know, is there more upside in the stolen bases? In 2013, in 113 games, he at double-A ball, he stole 38 bases. So are we under-projecting by saying just 20 steals? Could he have more than that?
Let me ask you fellas this. Doing my research and stuff like that, I'm noticing like a lot of these players steal significantly more bases in the minor leagues than they get to the majors, and some of them don't even run at all. Like, is looking at minor league stolen base numbers a helpful thing to do? Because I don't really see where it translates to the majors all that much.
A good example of what you're talking about is Jock Peterson.
It's going down.
Sure. Yeah. Great example.
You know, but I really think it depends on the player. I mean, last year, you saw in 2015, he played just 97 games in the majors, and he did steal 10 bases, and he stole the 22 last year. So, you know, I just go back because we've already seen it in the majors.
Okay, I think Jock Peterson happens to be a great example.
Yeah.
He bats six.
So where would you, Tony, I know you said you like Jose Ramirez. Where are you taking him?
Oh, he's going to go in the mid-teen rounds, and he's going to be like the last guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to be the last guy that you could possibly get that could get you 10 home runs and 20 stolen bases. So he's going to be the very last guy that gets picked that fits into that category. So you want to keep an eye on that and try to grab
that could
him
cause him to get bid point up in an auction.
FSTA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In the FSTA, Jose Ramirez went in the seventh round.
Yeah, I'm about
that's
to say.
That's not mid-teens. That's seventh.
Yeah. No, I'm in the draft I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I think we're in like the seventh. Right. Yeah,
this is where you're considering him now.
He can go off the board. I don't know. I don't know yet. I still have to do research before I say something crazy. But he's a player that's like on my watch list.
What about the app's watch list?
Well, that's a 15 team draft.
Oh yeah,
so
yes, that's true too.
Equivalent of the ninth round.
That's right. That's right. In the NFBC, he is average pick 95. So that is,
I'm right now the draft I'm in is on pick 95.
There you go. That's the seventh round. Is that?
That's up.
So there you go. Yeah. Average pick 95. He is the 11th ranked third baseman, behind Alex Bregman, behind Anthony Rendon, ahead of Evan Longoria and Javier Baez. Are we cool with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ahead of Longoria,
absolutely.
Guys.
The batting average
he's
is
going already.
The batting average.
In my league, Longoria is going already. So. But Ramirez is still there. What are you about to say about the batting average, Tone?
The batting average, he doesn't strike out a lot. He puts balls in play. So that's why I'm not worried about it hitting 219 again. When you look at, you know, just 1 year, and I mean, 100 points difference in batting average, it doesn't come into play for me because I'm looking at that home run, the strikeout totals, and this guy makes contact in both years, even when he hit 219 and 300.
Let me. This is maybe it's just foolish of me to ask this question.
Jose Ramirez went in this. He went with the last pick in the sixth round of my draft.
You know what? Jose Ramirez is gone in this draft already.
He went ahead of Adrian Beltre. I don't know why anyone would pick up ahead of Adrian Beltre.
So there you go, Tony. He's not going mid-teens. He's going much higher, clearly. People know about this guy.
Yeah, the people must be hungry for stolen bases.
Yeah, combination of power and speed.
An average, really.
Yeah, he's
too.
Going already. I made a mistake on that. He's going already.
The average isn't guaranteed.
But is anything else?
About 100 points from one year to the next.
Yeah, no, I totally see it.
Mistake,
I mean,
Corey?
And the BABIP also went up 100 points a year to the
left. I thought I only did that.
So when I look at it, right, this is crazy, and I didn't realize this. So two guys, this is definitely tells you the tendency in drafts this year. People are chasing speed. Back-to-back picks were Jose Ramirez and Eduardo Nunez, two guys that hadn't put it together before,
right,
but last year put together some great stolen base numbers with power. They went ahead of Anthony Rendon, Evan Longoria, Javier Baez, Mikel Franco,
yep,
even Miguel Sano. That I wouldn't pick him ahead of any of those guys.
I would have been all over Franco.
In the league, in the draft that I'm in right now, he went ahead of Baez, he went ahead of Longoria, he went ahead of Sano.
Is Franco still there or not?
Yes.
Ooh.
You're in Mikel Franco right now, Scotty?
Yeah.
How come?
I just like what I saw, you know, the progress over last year. I think the kid's only going to get better. The Phillies have a lot of young talent on the rise. Like, to Tony's point the other day, you know, the pitching, you know, as well, you know, Eichhoff, you know, we saw last year. Nola's got this wicked curveball. There's a lot of talent to like on the Phillies.
Vinny Velasquez, right?
Yeah, Velasquez, you know, if you can put it together over the full season. There's a lot to watch there, you know.
Hey, let me.
I think Franco's a 30 home run guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so too.
Jake Seeley likes him too.
Nah. Okay.
Yeah, his numbers should improve. You know, he's a young man. So, you know, he's starting to come in.
Good pick right there.
Mikel Franco and Jose Ramirez are the same age, right? They're both 24 years old.
Yeah.
I think the difference between these two guys, for instance, if we just compare and contrast.
What do you want? What do you need
exactly
at that point?
Yeah. Jose
Ramirez,
you want
the pure power, or do you want the combination of less power with speed?
Correct. And is there an answer, or it just depends on what you need?
Depends on what you need. Okay. Like you know, we were talking about, you know, like, you know, look at your projected, you know, your stats that you need, you know, and what do you have so far? Where are your needs?
Okay.
Are you even going ahead of there? Do you need another pitcher?
Right.
You know, because the way that Corey built his roster, I'm wondering if he maybe needs another pitcher there.
I took three. I took yesterday, you remember I had that starter, Goldschmidt, Freeman, Springer, and Martinez.
Yep.
My next four pitchers, picks were all pitchers.
So there
you go.
Which
were they?
They were Carlos Martinez.
Right.
You like that?
Yeah, well, we talked about that yesterday, yeah.
We did.
Would have preferred Archer, but Martinez is a good pick. Yeah.
And then I took Masahiro Tanaka. Hello.
Ooh.
Okay.
Right. And I took Ken Giles.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I like Ken Giles, don't you know?
All right, we're good with that. And then this morning, I took Julio Teheran.
You like how you talk about that? So you and I, Julio Teheran.
Yep. On next week in fantasy.
Which will air tonight, of course.
We
talked about that tonight.
Yeah. No, it was on the app yesterday. How crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
I think out of that group, it wouldn't shock. I think you have three good pitches. Like, you don't have an elite pitcher, so that worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think
and there's no ace.
But I think three of those. And Julio Teheran could turn it. If any one of those three, it would be Julio Teheran to me. The only problem with him is that the long ball gets him every once in a while. And that's correctable. And a lot of times that's luck and bad luck. And that's the only problem he has. Tanaka has still been a great pitcher, but since he got that injury, he doesn't strike the people out like he used to.
No.
Third base, you know, pulling that Jose Ramirez thing, right, is crazy because just looking at these numbers, there's a lot of good third basemen. I look at a guy like Eugenio Suarez, went in the 19th round. He hit 21 home runs last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we like those two young players we talked about. Do we like them better than Moustakas?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Every one of them. Yeah. We come back. Oh, we'll talk about some of the other players in this Connect Four with the low fly ball home run ratio, including Jason Hayward. Is there any hope? I ask the guys next. Hey, Michael Floria, you're here. You're, we're talking about the DFS later. Floria, what are you doing for your girl for Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm going to be away next week, so we're going to celebrate this weekend before I go away.
But you won't be away on Valentine's Day. You'll be here for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but I'll be working all day, and then...
So you're working all day, you're not good enough to take her out at night when you get home from work? What kind of man are you?
Well, I get home late, and she has school early. Wow. So we've decided... I mean, we may still hang out that day, but we don't want to do anything big that day. We're going to go out to eat Saturday night instead.
Where are you going to eat?
I think there's this hibachi place not around by where she lives that we like a lot, so I think we're going to go there.
Benihana?
I think it's not Benihana, but it's similar.
Where is it, Florio?
Scott wants to come with his wife.
It's on Union Turnpike.
Okay.
There you go.
I think because I got to be here in the afternoon to record. It's like after old school, I might go home, and, you know, then we spend some time for Valentine's Day, and I come back.
You should bring her back here. Why don't you treat her a nice meal at Rockin' Riley's?
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's a nice place.
Possible.
There you go.
I know we've talked about the Cheesecake Factory. We've got
Oh, you did say that yesterday. Yeah. You did say that yesterday. Yeah. Well, you come back and record. And go meet the Cheesecake Factory afterwards. Yeah.
Florio, you going to spend the night at her house?
She will spend the night at my house.
Really?
I don't like where this is going.
You think you're grown, huh?
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on from there. I mean, my question to you before.
I don't know what George is doing for Valentine's Day.
You can ask George on George's show.
Yeah, I'll come in here and I'll do something and I'll
so,
cut the lawn.
I asked you before the break about Jason Hayward.
Get a flower and go watch the Islanders.
I asked you about Jason Hayward. Is there any chance of this dude rebounding? We talked earlier this week or last week and kind of talked ourselves into maybe Paolo Sandoval late. Can we talk ourselves in, Tony, to Jason Hayward late?
Yes, you can talk yourself into it. I don't know how it'll turn out, but, I mean, the guy hit 27 home runs in 2012, right? With the Atlanta Braves, .269 batting average. It's gone downhill ever since then, 14, 11, 13, and last year 7 with the Cubs. The problem is the Cubs have so much talent that he doesn't get a long leash here, but this is a kid we just talked about, Avisaíl García, right? People don't realize Jason Hayward's 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If he can put it behind him, the guy has plenty of time left in his career. He could turn it around. His batted balls in play were .266 last year. That's going to turn around. The power is going to come back up. Absolutely, this is a guy you should be picking late in your draft.
Yeah, he's a guy to target later on in the draft. Like Tony said, 27 years old. It's not over. He's not decrepit. He was banged up last season, had the wrist, had the hip thing. He has been a major disappointment. Since I've been with you guys and producing these shows, I think Jason Hayward may be one of the most talked about players. Listen, the all airport team guy, you know what I'm saying? Looks good getting off the plane. He get on the field, and he's been disappointment outside that one season. But his value has dropped so much that, you know, you got to take a gamble on a guy that at the least hit about .255, give you 10 home runs and 15 stolen bases. But if he goes 20-20 and you get him in, you know, late in the 19th, 20th round, then you could be cooking with gas.
Yeah, the thing is that expectations have changed, where the narrative in past years was, Hayward's overrated, he's going too early, 2012's not going to be repeated, he's not going to be 30-25. Now, it's some player, every point, a lot of players become a value. And, you know, this is a guy that can still hit .270 and maybe give you 15 home runs and 15 stolen bases.
Jason Hayward's going to cost you nothing in a draft. Absolutely nothing. Nobody wants this guy. No, everyone watched the playoffs last year. We talked about like people perhaps overdrafting a guy like Javier Baez or James White next year in football. Jason Hayward's going to be opposite. They're going to remember this guy batted eighth. He got benched in the Cubs run up into the playoffs. He's going to cost you nothing. We just talked about the home run to fly ball ratio. That's how we got on the topic of Jason Hayward. Guy gets off of the airplane and looks awesome, like a baseball player. Mm-hmm. He's got some pop. We've seen it
before.
He's like
a football player.
We've seen it in Atlanta. We've seen it in St. Louis. For a guy that's going to cost you nothing, I'll take a shot.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no reason not to, in all honesty. In that lineup especially, give it to me. We come back, we'll talk Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, if there's any chance of these guys rebounding as well. That's up next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning.